It's time for the Trending 55 hot seat, and with us right now is the newest Minister of Economy, Jobs, and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer. And first off, Minister, thank you as always for taking the time.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, so I guess the first question is that, you know what, I remember the last time we did this, the final one is in your role as Justice Minister, and also now as the Minister of Baseball, we were pointing out that Vladdy Jr. has to get it going, and you know what, you kind of called him out last week, said he's got to really pick it up, and his numbers have started creeping up since he called him out. This may be a magical effect here.
Well, you know what, it's good to see Vladdy finally starting to produce a little bit. He's got to keep up with the other young guns in the league. We got Acuna's hitting the ball. I think he hit 475 feet the other day.
Yeah.
He's still got to get to that Acuna level and Tatis level. I mean, everyone was saying he's going to be better than those guys, so let's continue to call out Vladdy Guerrero and see if he can actually get to that level.
Oh, boy, calling him out to the Tatis level, that's pretty good. But
I mean, they gave him the highest hitting rating in, the last, see if he can get there quick.
No doubt. And even in saying that, too, I mean, Tatis Jr., not only in terms of, his natural ability, but you could just see, I guess, the one thing I really like about watching this young man is that you could tell it's not all business with him. He's having a hell of a time.
Well, when you're that good, you can have fun while you play baseball. Baseball is usually really hard for everybody, but that guy's just so athletic that he just makes everything look easy.
In your opinion, is there anybody else who's, in your opinion right now, is Tatis Jr. the MVP, at least of the NL right now?
I think right now he'd be the front runner for sure. I mean, he's just doing everything, and he's making baseball fun, and that's exactly what they need right now.
All right, awesome. And I guess now shifting back to politics, Minister, obviously your time as Justice Minister, I guess now before we sort of recap your new portfolio, talking about the old one, I mean, so much work on rural crime, tackling that. Right away when we had the Wet'suwet'en blockades, you tackled that right away. The fight against the carbon tax, I could go down a long list of things that you did in a short time in the Justice Ministry. Is there anything in your mind that really sticks up where you look back and smile and say, wow, I'm really proud of that?
You know what? Just going out and listening to people, the town halls that we had talking about rural crime was so rewarding, just to get out there and talk to people and listen to them. And then being able to take the ideas we heard at the town halls and make them a reality in that same year with our rural crime strategy that we rolled out, that was just immensely rewarding. Just to listen to people and then hear their concerns and come up with solutions that came right from the words, right from the lips of Albertans.
All right, and I guess your successor, at least in the Justice Ministry, is former Municipal Affairs Minister Casey Madu. And Minister Madu obviously has a legal background as well. Are you confident he's going to excel in that role as well?
Oh, Minister Madu is going to do great. When the Premier and I chatted about this new role that I'm taking on, I told him that he had to put Madu in my spot, and that was the plan. And I mean, that was already the Premier's plan. You don't tell the Premier what to do, but we're on the same page. Minister Madu is the right person for the job.
All right. Now, in talking about that, too, I know when the announcement was made, I did ask you if there would be a lot of similarities between the Justice Ministry as well as Innovation, Jobs, and Economy. What are some of those synergies now that you could bring over from the Justice Department that's going to help you? Because now I understand that you're going to be taking a central role in the now somewhat completed Fair Deal panel with all the talking points that's on there.
So, I mean, the focus that we have over the next little while is implementing the full recovery plan. I mean, so many Albertans lost their jobs during this pandemic. We had 300,000 Albertans lose their jobs. So right now, over 100,000 have gotten their jobs back, but we still have a long way to go to get, the economy rolling here, to make sure that Alberta has a prosperous future. So our first job here is to implement sector strategies. So we're going to come out with a plan this fall, from agriculture to energy to a whole bunch of different areas and technology, to make sure that Alberta has the strongest possible footing to attract investment and grow jobs here in our province.
Now, I guess today's update, fiscal update, and even the finance minister, Minister Taze himself, had said quite sobering. And to this extent, was it expected to be this drastic in terms of the deficit that the province is facing?
Well, I mean, I think it's the same thing that's happening across, the Western world and across the world. I mean, right now, with the pandemic, everything's got geared back immensely. I mean, the one thing, though, to highlight is that Alberta kept 85% of its economy rolling. And the fact that we were able to keep that open, it made up over 90% of the actual GDP. So it's really a testament to the efforts of Albertans. The fact that we haven't, had a huge catastrophic spread of COVID, we still have to be vigilant on that front. But we kept a huge chunk of our economy going, which is allowing us to recover and rebound pretty quickly here. So we have a lot of work to do, but it really is a testament to the hard work of Albertans, and as well as the leadership of our Premier and our health officials, to get us through this very difficult time.
Now, Minister, I guess another thing that we want to touch on as well is that obviously the COVID pandemic did wreak havoc on the world's economy, not just Alberta, but also as well is that there was a specific situation that was happening with Russia and Saudi Arabia at the time earlier this year, at the end of last year, flooding the market with oil. And obviously that had a serious consequences for Alberta. And just kind of remind us like how much that as well, that whammy really affected this province as well.
Well, it's one of those situations where you can never fully anticipate a nightmare scenario. And this is even worse than your normal nightmare scenario that you could have. I mean, you've got a global pandemic. You've got a trade war over the price of crude. Crude went to negative pricing there for a while. So we really, as a province, have gotten through, you know, kind of a once-in-a-generation, a once-in-a-century type of an event. And hopefully that now that as we lay the foundation through our relaunch plan, we'll position Alberta to recover faster than other jurisdictions and position us as well to take advantage of the fact that we have a government here in Alberta that wants to get people back to work, that's working to make sure that this is the most competitive jurisdiction to invest in, create jobs, have that entrepreneurial spirit. If we do that right, Alberta will be stronger than other places that have come out of this pandemic.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's definitely a lot of innovation there in this in the province, and I guess that's kind of one of the things that was updated about that, and this is one part of the new title, Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation. Now, innovation is obviously a very exciting thing for a lot of people, and one thing, as you were mentioning, Alberta's entrepreneurial spirit. Do you see some good opportunities to support, what some would say, a lot of the great ideas that so many young and old entrepreneurs in our province have?
Yeah, and part of our recovery plan is we're putting $175 million into Alberta Enterprise, was in works with venture capital and technology companies to grow that here in Alberta and around in other areas as well. So it'll increase GDP immensely in Alberta. It should create about $500 million of investment here in the province into technology companies, into that creating that diversity here in Alberta. So we're working on lots of different things. We also have some really exciting announcements that are coming down the pipe in agriculture and forestry, you know, technology, manufacturing. It's really going to be an opportunity for us to reshift, reload, and get back out there.
Now, in terms of that, too, I know one thing to be competitive that a lot of people say is that you need high-speed internet. And obviously up here in Lapeace and Mackenzie country, there's quite a few rural communities that may not have that kind of access, or at least high-speed access. And how important do you feel that it is that as many Albertans, whether they live in Calgary or Paddle Prairie, have that opportunity to get online and access the world economy, schooling, so many other things? Do you think that there's like a role that the government could play in maybe bringing the high-speed broadband to those remote communities?
Well, one of the things that we've seen is that a complete rethink of what the office environment needs to be in, you know, in Canada, in Alberta. You know, you don't necessarily have to be in downtown Calgary or downtown Edmonton to do a very sophisticated job, as long as you have access to, you know, high-speed internet, as long as you have access to the tools that you need to connect into the global online community. So really, it's an opportunity. I'm working closely with the Minister of Service Alberta. I met with him actually this morning to talk about rural broadband and a whole host of other, you know, data and technology-driven strategies that we're working on. So we do have a lot of work to do still to make sure we can connect that, but this is one of those great equalizers. If we can get this right and give more and more people access to high-speed connections, it'll really help level the playing field and give people the opportunity to live in beautiful communities like you mentioned.
No doubt, yeah. We had actually on the hot seat once Service Alberta Minister Nick Lubich, and he had talked about that rural strategy as well, and I know a lot of people up here are excited to see what does happen with that, because obviously it is a big one. So one thing I'm kind of curious about, maybe behind the scenes, if you can share a little bit, is that we see, in our end, we see a release that comes out and says, oh, the government's going to be making an announcement about a cabinet shuffle, but obviously it didn't happen kind of Sunday night, and then Monday morning or Tuesday there's an announcement. So about how long would you say before today did you actually like sit down with the premier? Did the premier approach you and say, hey, would you consider this?
It happened quite quickly. I found out about a day beforehand that the shift was happening, and you know what, you figure out quickly. Last night I was up till midnight reading some binders, getting up to speed on what's happening in the department, and you hit the ground running.
Yeah, no doubt about that, and obviously very interesting times coming up. We do know about the deficit, but definitely, I guess in terms of this, too, is that how excited are you about transitioning from the justice role over to this new role, which has similar challenges, but also different ones as well, it seems like.
Well, you know, it being the Justice Minister was an amazing privilege to do that and the work that was done there. The one thing that I'm really looking forward to, this new job, is being a Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, is that this is about the future of Alberta. And we have a proud province. You know, a lot of folks want to write off Alberta. They think, you know what, you guys are the past. You know what, we are going to be the future of Canada. We're going to be the leaders that are going to set the tone. We're going to continue to set the direction for this country, and we're going to do that by making sure we have the best possible opportunities for Albertans to grow businesses here. We're going to go through this fall with our sector strategies to make sure we're the most competitive jurisdiction in Canada, to make sure that we can go to other places. We can go with the foreign investment. Say, look, you need to be in Alberta. We have a lower cost of living. You have the best business environment. You want to make money. You want to grow. You want to hire people. You need to be here in this province.
All right, and I guess because I was watching some of the fiscal update on the Assembly website, and I believe it was the finance critic, the member from Lethbridge West, who had suggested that personal income taxes were raised in Alberta, but I understand that that's not true, is it?
Well, you know what? It's hard to take the member from Lethbridge West very seriously. Her jobs plan was literally hiring people to come to your home to screw in light bulbs. So, I mean, she completely lost all credibility on pretty much any file that I've ever seen. So, to take her word on this one, I think you just got to dismiss it. It's just bluster from the NDP. We have a credible Minister of Finance. We've got an amazing team here. We're going to get Albertans back to work.
All right. I think that'll wrap it up, at least in terms of the politics. And now we've got to go back to baseball, as we always do, to the Minister of Baseball. And I guess now, you know what, this is going to be a kind of an interesting year, because, you know what, the trade deadline's not too far away. The Jays picked up Taiwan Walker this morning, I guess at that point, because when your arms are dropping like flies, you don't have a choice. But in saying that, though, what kind of deadline do you expect this year with so many teams, like more teams being able to qualify? In terms of that, like usually at this time of the year, it would be very defined who's buying and who's selling, but wow, is it really up in the air this year? Do you think that you see any surprises this year in the shortened season coming up, at least in terms of the trade markets?
Well, you know, it is just wild. Like, it just seems like the baseball got going, and now we're in the stretch run because of the short season. I mean, you have a good weekend series, and all of a sudden you could go from the basement to being right in playoff contention. So, you know what? I just think it's going to be wild. I think anybody's on the market right now. I think there's a lot. If I'm the Red Sox, I'm dumping as much as I humanly can.
Yeah.
Even though it's sad to me because I actually like the Red Sox, but man, those guys need to completely reconstruct their team. But you know what? I think it's an opportunity here for the Blue Jays to make it, you know, playoff run.
No doubt about it, and especially just to get that experience for some of the younger guys. And I guess going back to your college career, I got to ask you this, because you did spend a couple of years playing college ball in California. And did you ever face off against any guys who are in the major leagues right now, or have any on your team, or at least anyone that you remember that's like, oh, wow, he was really good, and then it turned out, hey, he's in the majors?
You know what? Most of the guys I played with are retired now. So that's the one thing that you realize when you're getting a little older, when you – remember watching players like Ken Griffey Jr. as rookies, and then now they're in the Hall of Fame. That's real an eye-opener for when you get older. I played against J.C. Bay. If you remember him back in the
day. Oh, yeah, former Expo prospect.
Yeah. So he went on to get a pretty big contract out of the Red Sox. Also played against I remember watching guys like Ryan Dempster growing up in D.C. There was a few other guys that I played with when I was in I got to go to a few amazing tournaments when I was younger. And the third baseman, shortstop, catcher, and first baseman were all like, you know, top three round draft picks. So,
oh wow,
I've seen some really good players come up. But the thing that's really amazed me nowadays, like the training techniques that they're doing. Like, you have all these pitching academies that are like science projects where they take a look at your spin rates, their optimal angles, your leverage.
Wow.
You got all these kids that are throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour coming out of high school right now, which is just crazy.
Well, here's one that I was actually thinking about, and this was a documentary I saw on ESPN way back in the day that was really interesting, in which Dr. Frank Jobe, who's one of the other Tommy John surgeries and probably next to James Andrews, was doing a story about like the Tommy John surgery procedure, and basically a 14-year-old kid had come up to him and said, hey, the parents had come up to him and said, hey, our son has a sore arm. Do you want to give him Tommy John surgery? He did the MRIs, did all kinds of grafting, and said, you know what, a little bit of rehab will get him good. No, just go ahead and schedule the surgery. Like, that's what they wanted, because now there's some belief that when you get that surgery, your arm could come back better. I don't know about you, but that to me, as a former pitcher as well, sounds like nuts.
Well, I think, too, one of the reasons why I think pitchers came back stronger from Tommy John is that they were actually doing a lot of the techniques that are being used now by these training schools that are, you know, basically hardwiring these pitchers to throw so hard. Tommy John would kind of force them to build up additional shoulder stability, additional back stability, core stability as they were training to come back. So they would come back throwing harder. I don't know if it was necessarily the surgery that led to it or just the training that what goes along with that surgery.
Yeah, that is definitely an interesting analysis. Minister, Minister of Jobs, Innovation, Economy, and of course baseball as well. Always appreciate the time. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
This is Minister of Economy, Jobs, and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer, and this is the Trending 55 Hot Seat.